Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Denise, and this is the Dr. Denise Show. And this is the Creative Mind series. And I'm so excited to have our guest here today. Charles, how are you?
I am amazing, Denise. How are you?
Good. Oh, my goodness. I get so excited. So, everyone, Charles Maddox is an award-winning actor, director, producer, television host, and health advocate. And he and I feel really fortunate, Charles, during the pandemic to really have interviewed you for a couple other endeavors and just to know your vibe and just who you are. So thank you for being here today.
Oh, my, it's my pleasure. And I love being on with you. It's always a vibe.
Yeah. So I'm super passionate about happiness and creativity. And I feel like so many people go on this amazing journey to sort of, in their own way, devote themselves to their craft. So I thought it'd be fun. I know you've got exciting news that we're going to talk about, but could you give us all an idea about the journey of Charles, like from like the first, like your passion for entertainment, just the window into your soul?
Yeah. You know, I'm not sure, you know, it started off, obviously, you know, I don't like to drop names, but, you know, I'm the nephew of Bob Marley. And I guess I got to talk about that because that's how I got inspired. So it really was from that. If I can remember as early back, that probably was the inspiration after I met him twice. But then I went to his funeral and then came home. And it wasn't until I started listening to his music, you know, around maybe 7 or 8 or something like that. And I thought, wow, you know, I've got some blood in me, man, that comes from an amazing space. So I knew I wanted to do something. And
by the way, I'm getting chills just honoring your uncle because the way I view and feel the universe, I literally just got lightning bolt chills up my arms like, hey, Bob, we love you, right?
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite song of his? It's your favorite song?
Or
is there a bunch of them?
We refuse to be what we wanted us to be. We are what we are. That's the way it's going to be. So trotting on a wine press much too long. So yeah, a few. Probably Redemption Song is one of them, and So it really came from, you know, meeting him and wanting to do something special with my life and also, to be honest, probably from a spiritual and so-called religious background. You know, my mother was really into a certain religion, and it kind of taught me to put other people first and be of service. So that's kind of, you know, and then of course I got into music.
What's your mom's first name?
Constance.
Constance. Shout out to Constance. Thank you for raising such a gentleman.
Right. So yes, I got into music and then, you know, did very well with that, made records, worked with some of the biggest in the business and back then. And then from there, I got into film and television. And I think it wasn't until I was diagnosed many years later with type 2 diabetes where I actually found my real purpose, you know, so that's kind of how it got started.
Well, I want to pause there because I think it's something that comes up on a lot of the different shows I do about how sometimes when we're in our greatest suffering or fear, when we kind of go into the suffering, there's oftentimes a silver lining that we can't even imagine at the time. We're like, you got to be kidding me. So do you remember that sort of transformational moment of finding your purpose or kind of a series of events?
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think it was when I was diagnosed, and I was just using the bathroom a little bit too much over a weekend, and at this point, I was doing, you know, this whole celebrity chef thing. Of course, I had starred in films and nominated for Emmy Awards and made records and everything, and at this point, I had moved from Los Angeles, and I was a single dad from moved from Los Angeles to Florida, and got into this whole celebrity chef thing. I wasn't cooking for anyone, but I came up with this great idea, me and my son Armani, and it took off. So I had cookbooks, sauces, and all this kind of stuff. And then when I was diagnosed, I kind of was like, wow, you know what? There's nobody in this space that looks like me. And, you know, maybe this is what, you know, I'm supposed to be doing, is educating people and creating projects that could save lives. So that's kind of how it kind of really, you know, started to take a form of when I realized I can give back and help other people. And when you see you're touching people by information and education, and even the fact that I was so unaware and uneducated of so much going on in the healthcare industry. So it became a task for me to not only educate myself, but educate others.
Well, I think that's something that you and I are very passionate about: wellness, not illness, prevention. And then when someone has, whether it's diabetes, mental health issues, I know you've got a lot to tell us about other projects. I want you to share any sort of health issue or spiritual or physical, you know, there's that optimal well-being, and it's like how you think about it and how you use all the tools in your toolbox to be well. And I'm very passionate about the least amount of meds or no meds and just looking at the holistic person. I'm not against prescribing, of course, they come into play, but I do everything I can to not use my prescription pad. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that wellness, it sounds like your empowerment and understanding a system. I know from talking with you that you have a lot of insight, especially when you're raising capital, of where people want to maybe say one thing in a commercial, but they don't throw it down to do like an educational film. And so you probably have a lot of stories of sort of like the backstory of, are people really walking the walk, or do people want people to be sick? And I'm not trying to be against anyone or anything. I just want to almost like elevate this discussion to, you know, where you're headed with everything you've already been doing with educating the masses. Can you speak a little bit more about that and that passion?
Yeah, you know, and I think obviously, you know, we live in a world where, you know, I hate to say it, you know, it is about, at times it seems like it's every man for himself. And it also seems at times like, you know, that, you know, we deal with companies that are, you know, highly competitive and want to make a lot of money, and the patient comes first, and people's health comes second. So when I do what I do, it's almost like, it really takes on a special thing, because at times we, you know, in trying to create these things, there's a lot of rejection. And yes. even when you do films and television, there's a lot of rejection. So, you know, when I call up a company and I'm like, you know, how do you not see this? How do you not get that this could be beneficial for someone dealing with mental health or someone dealing with diabetes? And you guys are making, you know, $300 million, and you guys don't want to be a part of something for, you know, $100,000, you know, it blows my mind. So it's like, you know what, it really triggers me to want to keep going, you know, because that no is something that it makes me say, you know what, don't worry about that. Just keep going. Let's get this thing done, and you'll show them sooner or later, and you'll have something that can change the world, and it'll be worth the fight.
I love that, because, you know, words, thoughts, and actions carry their own vibrational frequency. And it sounds like you've also mastered or have resiliency factor with the no's, and know that you believe so much in what you're doing and what you're creating and the vision and the education and reaching people, that sometimes, you know, the no can be a little bit of a blow, like a stomach punch, but other times you can take that no and just keep calling and calling. And oftentimes then you attract an even more finer compass of who the core is you're supposed to work with on that particular project. Would you agree?
Yeah. You know, I posted something the other day. You probably saw it. It said that your price isn't too high. They're just not your customer. So it's not that these people are, you know, even knocking or telling me no. They're just not who we should be working with right now.
Right.
And, right. You kind of have to find those who are aligned with your mission in some form or fashion, or they see a financial benefit or a gain for them. And, you know, I kind of look at it sometimes, Denise, is almost like I'm like Robin Hood, you know, so I kind of create projects where I can pull in a company knowing that, you know, this is probably not a quality company, but they've got a lot of money, but I can take some of that money and make an amazing project that helps people. And I still win because I'm able to get the message that I need to get to the people. But, you know, I kind of package it so that they would think that, or they would get a benefit from, you know, either pushing a product or a service or something like that.
Well, I think I like what you're saying because, you know, this is a creative minds, but there's also the reality of the business.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing you're very creative as a film exec and creating the win-win.
Yeah.
And the business opportunity and staying in integrity, but the win-win. How do we win? How do you win? How do we all win?
Yeah, because, you know, you would think, you know, let's just say I want to go to, you know, some big drug company that has a product for diabetes or you know, and even if it's not a medication, let's say it's a device. And you would think that you would call them and say, hey, listen, I've got this great show and we're changing people's lives with diabetes. And you
right.
would, they would say, man, we want in. But they don't, you know, if they're the only gas station within 100 miles, they don't have to advertise. That's why you don't see a ton of, ads for diabetes. You don't see any really. I mean, when's the last time you've seen, an ad or a PSA for mental health? Right.
No. Mm-mm.
I mean, but yet companies they have brand new companies popping up every other week that are focused on mental health, and they're getting, you know, big seed money and big money from hedge funds to start these mental health companies. And of course we know that there's medication and treatment facilities and things like that, but yet there's no awareness.
Correct.
You know, they're more focused on how they can make money than how they can help educate and inspire people to be the best.
Yeah, so I really appreciate your mind and how you're able to go back and forth from the business end and then the creative process. Can we talk, like, when I've seen your trailers and when you were sending me things last year for possible projects together, your face just lights up when you're on camera and when you're in your zone. Can you talk about that, what it's like to be you when you're doing the documentaries, like what it feels like, and maybe share with what you're working on right now?
You know, it's interesting, and it's kind of, I want to say it's kind of scary, because sometimes, you know, part of me is creative, but then also there's a big part that has to be business. And at times I just want to, you know, be creative. And so, but I'm so into the business side of getting the show where it needs to be that it takes away and it doesn't allow me to really sit down and be creative. So even like the last show we just shot a couple of months ago, that's airing in a couple of days or when this airs, it should be airing that day. I was a little nervous. I didn't write it all out. And I think we were, you know, had maybe about a week or so before we were going to go to set, and 2 weeks before we were going to go to set. And then I just said, you know what, I got to sit down and just write this thing out. And literally my mind just started going, and the creative process started just churning on every day, what was going to happen each day of this series. But I was procrastinating for weeks because my mind wasn't in that space. It was more on the business side of things and making sure the production was running. So
can I actually put some terms to that I like to talk about in all areas?
Of course.
I call it the linear and the non-linear.
Mm-hmm.
And I even joke now when I'm running errands to my friends, I'm doing my linears, and my non-linears are like my favorite creative things that I do, that unseen energy, the inspiration and the linears are, you're right. Like, how are we going to pay the bills? How are we going to get this funded? Who's really going to show up? And I do think when we're talking about the creative process, artists, musicians, producers, you get in your flow when you have those linears taken care of. And sometimes people just procrastinate on the linears because they're in their zone of creativity. You kind of have to run with it. Once you're in the different zones, sometimes it's hard to kind of intermix the zones.
True, true. It is. It is. It is. It, and you have to be able to separate. And that's why, you know, I was looking at something with Tyler Perry, and you know, he's off in his looks like his country home somewhere in Utah, wherever it may be, and he's literally just writing. He went away from everything, and he's focusing on writing, because at the end of the day, that's the bread and butter, right? You have to be able to have that creative side of you or who he is to be able to have the projects, because the business side is one thing, but if he doesn't keep turning out these amazing products and projects, then you have nothing. So,
I love that you said that, because I believe that's the sacred pause. Whether it's, maybe you can talk about your, I know you take walks. I swim in the pool. So do you have your space where you, like, I know, I already know some of them, but I want you to say it. What fuels your soul? What gives you the reboot, Charles?
You know, I get on a plane a lot. I love to travel. I love to see, you know, beautiful places. I will literally just jump on a plane and head to Costa Rica, head to Panama, head to Jamaica, head to some island or somewhere to just reset. And, you know, I'm able to then kind of, you know, wake up in the morning and see the sunrise and kind of have an overview of where I'm at, what I need to do and what needs to happen and how I need to get it done. Because at times when we stay in our little center, we're focusing on everything like grocery shopping and laundry and the errands and the friends and the family and things like that. And we're not able to really have a Zen moment where we can really focus on who we are and what's next and how do we do that.
So can you take us on the journey of your documentaries that have been passionate for health advocacy, like a quick summary and story and leading up to where we're so excited about this new season launching?
Definitely. You know, it's interesting because, like I said, when I was diagnosed, and I'm going to go through it pretty fast, when I was diagnosed, I wanted to tell my story. I thought, wow, you know, I was just diagnosed. This doctor was ready to put me on medication. How could this be possible? I wanted to shoot something and maybe put it on a local TV station, PBS locally or something like that. And it just started to roll and roll and roll. And next thing you know, I was shooting this full-fledged documentary that, you know, a biopharmaceutical company helped me get some funding for, and then I wanted to then be a major face in diabetes so I can help educate other people and have the respect to do that. And long story short, I came up with a great idea that would reach people right in their homes by creating a television series called Reverse that took five people or a certain amount of people, brought in the experts, and gave them the information, education, and inspiration that they needed to change their lives, right? Because if you had all of these people, these experts in health in one particular place, how powerful would that be instead of running from this doctor to that doctor to that doctor and getting all this misinformation? So from there, I created that series, and then...
Can I just go, whoop, whoop? Yay. Okay, go ahead.
No. And then,
I like to celebrate throughout my day. I go through waves of linears, non-linears, patience, creativity, being a mom. So I have to always just have that gratitude and celebrate. I'm like, yay. So that's fantastic.
Yeah. And along the way, trust me, it hasn't been easy. You know, it's a fight. You know, it's meeting the right people, getting the right opportunities. I mean, for that season, literally, I had to lock myself in a room for like weeks, just to, and calling everybody that I could dig up in healthcare, in pharma, in diabetes, and literally getting 99% no's by everyone, which is mind blowing. Because once again, these are people that are in diabetes and have, you know, meters and strips and drugs and this, that, and you're like, dude, how could you? I don't get it. And finally, I got one guy from a big company, semi-big company, and Mankind, which makes the inhaled insulin, Afrezza, and he was like, "Yeah, we'd be interested." And I was like, "Man, thank God!" You know,
woohoo!
Yeah,
but I think this is important for people to know. I think a lot of times, you know, we write our bios or we say this is what we've accomplished, but there's so much resiliency and hard work.
Yeah.
You know, there's often just this, the way someone might look on the red carpet or the way the music sounds, but, or the film comes out, but people don't realize the tenacity and also all kinds of things you learn about human beings along the way. It's like a resiliency factor that really words can't describe. So when you get that yes, you're like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. It's rough. You know, I mean, it's a beautiful thing, but then at the same time, you realize that you've got a lot of work to do now, and you got to make sure that you make them proud when they say yes, so you can continue to do other great things, you know. So it's the start of a journey, and you know, you got to keep that journey alive until you're able to get to the point where, you know, they come calling you, and that's really where you want to be.
Absolutely. So I know we don't want to give away. I've seen the trailer for the upcoming show. So do you want to talk about another series, or do you want to give a little bit of teasers? Yeah, no, we want to talk
about that one. Definitely. Definitely. That is a beautiful series, and it's coming up at September 24th. It's going to air on the Glued TV platform. Glued is like Tubi, Crackle, you know, like a Netflix. But I wanted to air it there first because a lot of people around the world have been literally sending me messages saying, you know, how could they see the show and how could they view it? And, you know, if it aired on, you know, Discovery, like I've aired shows before, it would be very hard for them to see the show in other parts of the world. So it's going to air on that network. And then we're going to look at other places that we're going to air it. I'm actually in the middle of airing, creating my own network too, as well, called Your Health Network. But the show is, we take three people who are living with diabetes and also other comorbidities like hypertension, high cholesterol, and we bring in some amazing experts, everything from mental health to nutrition to doctors, and we really educate them. But this time we use the ketogenic and intermittent fasting lifestyle to make those changes. And the first season, I didn't really have a great game plan, even though it worked. But this season, I've seen the you know, the data and the results that keto and intermittent fasting and low carb can play in someone's life. And I must say, it is a game changer. We've had people.
Cool.
Yeah, we've had people lose upwards of 65 pounds. We've had people, you know, come off of their medication. It's unbelievable. And one thing I will add is that, you know, I believe that keto and intermittent fasting and low carb is a great lifestyle. It's not the only tool in the shed, right? But it definitely is something to look into. And even if it's something where you implement it for a short period of time and then make the adjustments in your diet and your lifestyle to make sure that you're keeping to you know, eating the right way and exercising the right way. I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, Denise, you know, staying away from the carbs, staying away from the sugars, staying away from the processed foods is key, and drinking a lot of water, staying away from the sodas and the sugar filled juices is key. You know, I mean, those are just, it's just a fact. So You know, I'm glad to introduce this to the world, and you know, I'm not expecting everybody to you know, jump on a ketogenic diet, or but we wanted to show that what could be done using this particular lifestyle.
Well, I really want to just champion your words, and I like the way you said it's a tool, because I like to talk about the tools in our toolbox for everything. Yeah. And so I love that. And it sounds like it's almost like this season is like mind blowing. Like the things that happened on the season that we're about to all view on Glued TV this September 24th, it's mind blowing for each of the individuals. And I think, you know, as you said, people go back to their doctors, they look at their health and well being, their nutritionists, their holistic health plan. But I do, I mean, as a doctor, I always talk about anti-inflammation, and I do a lot of intermittent fasting. And, but I also think that everyone's got their own unique style of nutrition, but this one, yeah. I'm so excited by all the things I've been seeing on social media and the joy. It looks like a lot of people were like, almost like pleasantly surprised. Like they themselves were surprised.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, once again, everybody is going to be different. So all of, you know, the people who are on the show, they're going to have different results. They're going to have different, you know, phases in their life. I mean, me personally, I love food, and don't get me wrong. You know,
no,
I mean,
you don't. Charles Maddox, I never see cool food on all your posts.
No.
You're such a foodie. You make me hungry. Every time I see your food, I'm like, I want to be your neighbor. Because I'm like one of my, by the way, my avatar power is not cooking. Okay. So go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, trust me right now, man, I would love to have a steak or not a steak, a pizza or something, or a Philly cheesesteak or something like that. But and everything is in moderation, but also I do it when I get myself right. So, you know, just to be transparent, you know, today, I tested my blood sugar because I knew I wasn't where I needed to be. I tested my blood sugar and it was a little on the high side. And I said, okay, you know, even though I'm type 2 diabetes, I reversed mine. I don't use medication or anything, but.
Wait, by the way, woohoo.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. Exactly. Okay. Go, but Charles, go.
Yeah. Right. But I could tell it was a little high. And I said, you know what? I'm glad. And I needed that. And I say I needed that because I needed to kick myself in behind and get myself together. And since then, it's been probably like 3 weeks now, and I've been on a total ketogenic diet. And I've lost, I don't know how much I've lost, but I can just tell that I've cut down on my weight and on, you know, I'm feeling good. I'm wearing clothes that I haven't wore in some time. My body, my blood pressure, blood sugar numbers, everything is in line. I'm in full ketosis. I mean, it's I'm back where I needed to be in a week. And that just goes to show you that any of us at any point could take back our health the best that we can. So
I love that. And I think what you're also, we've hinted at is the power of epigenetics, how much we can all turn on our optimal well-being. And, you know, I love what you said, so like this adaptive perfectionism, the transparency. You know, if you're making 80 to 90% good choices, you can have optimal health. But if the pendulum swings one way for anything, whether it's high blood pressure, diabetes, mental health, it's like we all have our own levels of awareness and self-love of what gets us back on our own personal unique track. Yeah. And so it sounds like you've got yours down. Like, you know, like if I'm going to have a Philly cheesecake weekend, a Philly cheesesteak cake.
Yeah, let's do cheesecake. Not a Philly.
Oh my goodness. Anyways, I'm just having fun. So when you are making that decision to make adaptive enjoyments when you're reaching optimal health, it sounds like the other good, great thing about your show is educating ways that they can hack their own system. They can work with their professionals and they can just get back on track pretty quickly.
Yeah. And you know, it doesn't have to be something that, you know, I do on a regular basis. I mean, even tonight, you know, I've kind of been underneath the weather for the last week here. And a friend said, hey, you know, you want me to drop you off some food? And I said, I thought about it for a second because I'm on this whole one meal a day thing right now. And it works for me. it works for me. It may not work for everybody, but it works for me. And I thought about it, and I thought I was this, and it was a healthy meal. It was a keto meal. It was, I think they were making fettuccine, but using cauliflower mash, and then also like it could have been a salad. And I thought, you know what, man, as good as that sounds, and as healthy as it is, I'm on this one meal a day thing. And that's why we focus a lot on mental health. And that's why the next series, we're definitely going to have you on, because, you know, mental health and being able to make those changes and stick to those things. Because, Denise, I have to be honest, I've had a food addiction, and I didn't realize it. And I realize it when for the last couple of years, and I'm being honest, and hopefully other people can relate to me, for the last couple of years. Every day, it's the start of the diet. Every day. Why? Because I messed up yesterday. So I'm starting it tomorrow. I'm starting it tonight. That has been the routine. I might do 3 good days, and next thing you know, the kids are over, and at 12 o'clock at night, I'm in the pantry, and I've got the potato chips, I've got the cookies, I'm a hot dog. Big Mac.
I love this self disclosure of honesty and like also self love and shout out world. Like, you're doing this amazing series in health advocacy, but you're also saying I'm human too.
Yeah,
I love that, and I really appreciate that. I think that's refreshing. I think, you know, lots of times we all want to make it look like it's all so perfect to the world, but it's really not. You know, it's just fun to laugh about it, but then know that you're on track. You're doing amazing, right?
But the thing is Denise, one thing about food, it's almost a slow poison, in the sense that you can tell if you're killing yourself. You can tell if you're killing yourself, right? I mean, I was watching the TV show My 600-Pound Life yesterday online, and I'm looking at these people who, you know, are 700, 800, 900 pounds.
Oh my,
and they're
goodness.
Ordering, of course, My 600-Pound Life, and they're ordering 2 full pizzas.
That's a nervous laughter, everyone.
You know what I'm saying? Chicken
yeah.
wings, breadsticks. And they're eating the whole thing.
No, I understand. There's a spiritual disconnect. I just want to say, from a mental health and wellness standpoint, you know, there's genetics, there's environment, there's our time in nature. And so we have to be aware of our own specific genetics with like obsessive compulsive. So I think whenever you're looking, you brought up food addiction, and I, you know, you and I can do another show, because I just want to honor the fact that you are bringing up such an important topic of the importance of awareness of mental health, because people sometimes just tune out and they can do anything without thinking, whether it's shopping so much, people can be gambling, they can, you know, we can all be on our phones too much, we can be eating too much. And so having that awareness and mental health and being in the present moment and knowing your own, I say, neurostyle, that we all process and perceive things in our own unique way. I have to admit, my son was so funny. He's like, "Now, Mom, you know you're addicted to swimming." I'm like, "I am. I am, honey." He's like, "Well, that's a good addiction." Because I talked to him. My father got sober when I was 11. And there's addiction on both sides of my family. So I think the other thing to remember is that when we have awareness to our own family genetics, we can use that energy and we can seek the right professionals, make amazing choices, and then we can have optimal health. And then we can laugh about it too, right? Because my son's like, "Oh, there you go again. Now you're cleaning the house." I'm like, "Honey, the house is less." "Okay, is that your OCD?" And he throws these terms out. Like, I'm not even formally, but it's like interesting, you know, having a mother that teaches him all these words.
Yeah.
He's like, "Now, Mom, don't tell me I'm hyperactive and have ADD. Aren't you bringing that word neurostyle to the world? I don't want to hear that, Mom." So I think the other thing too is when you think about people with diabetes, high blood pressure, addiction, mental health, you know, you're Charles, I'm Denise. The persons on the show are these amazing people. So I feel like you've also probably, maybe one amazing way to finish up is just honoring all the amazing souls you've met along the way. Hasn't it been fun reaching and working with all these great people?
it's really been an honor, to be honest with you. I mean, when you're able to come up with this wild idea of a television show or concept or a movie, and you're able to find one of the best doctors in their field and reach out, Denise, and say, hey, listen, this is who I am. I've got an idea. I'd love for you to be a part of it. Let me send you some information. And this world-renowned, well-respected doctor says, I'm in. I love it. You know, what do you need from me? It makes you really just say, wow, you know, we're doing something right. Because, you know, to have the trust of people like that. But just, you know, from the smallest to the biggest. I mean, you know, what, you know, whether it's this young, beautiful group of dancers, young girls in Costa Rica that came on set for us and did some local beautiful Costa Rican dancing, to the doctors, to the people who believe in us, who, you know, may have something in health related that they want to share and they're excited to get their message out there, to the networks that we deal with that say, hey, you know what, man, we want to air this it's been a beautiful ride. It's been a beautiful ride. And, you know, you like, I like a movie that I love. And I said, I save nothing for the swim back. And that's really how my life is, you know?
Well, I want to just say thank you for being you. I know that I know you, but I like to really tune in right before I do these interviews and like reread your bio as though I've never met you and just think like, oh my gosh, I get to talk to Charles today. And I was thinking of all the different twists and turns that our different careers can go. And I just want to thank you for your devotion to service and to love and into inspiring others and being inspired. I just want to really express gratitude and I thank you so much for coming on and talking today. And wow. So how can everyone find you and find the show?
Definitely. And I want to thank you too as well, because you have a soul and a spirit that's just out of this world. You are just a ball of love and kindness and understanding and empathy and an amazing businesswoman who's also a professional in an expert in what you do. And so as far as finding me,
thank you, Charles.
You know, my website is probably the easiest. It's Bella and Ellie Media, BellaAndEllie Media, MEDIA.com. Or you can go to charlesmattox.com too as well. CharlesMattox.com. And to be honest, I'm not hard to find. If you Google me, Charles Maddox, you'll see all the places where you can find me. So I'm not hard to find.
Thank you, Charles. And I can't wait to watch the show, and I can't wait to keep creating new ideas and work alongside you.
Blessings.
Thank you.